We know that this time of year, in a couple of nights, we're going to be reading Eicha. Eicha, hopefully this year, we'll actually read it as we read the Haggadah, where it'll be just a Maschil Begnus, and we'll be able to be Messiah B'Shevach. But regardless, we will be reading Eicha in 2 nights from now. In addition to reading Eicha, in two days after that, we will be having Shabbos Nachma. Now, Eicha, we know, is a period of tragedy. It describes the tragic events of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. It hints to tragic events throughout history. And then we have Shabbos Nachamu. But the Nechama of Shabbos Nachamu, or the Nechama of the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't actually begin on Shabbos Nachamu. It doesn't even begin on Yud Av, the day after Tisha B'Av. It begins on Tisha B'Av itself. The Nechama itself begins within Tisha B'Av. And we have halachos that will describe as we get there to understand that the Nechama is actually coming together with the Churban. So we have this time period, this period we're in of the 3 weeks, is not just a period of destruction, of Churban, of Avelus, of sadness, but it's also a period of Nechama, of consolation. And how do the two intermingle with each other, that in a sense they are inextricably intertwined? They have to remain together. So we have destruction, Churban on the one hand, Nechama on the other hand, and somehow they have to fit together. So in order to understand this, we'll start with Eicha. The first Pasuk, the opening Pasuk of Eicha, tells us Eicha Yoshva Vadod, how she sits alone, Ha'ir Abasiyam, the city that was filled with people, Ha'isokal Manot, it's now widowed, Rabasiva Goyim, Sarasi Bamdinos, it's great amongst the nations, it's the princess amongst the nations. Haisalamas is now a subservient tributary to the governing body. Bavel, Rome, whoever it might be. It says, Eicha Yoshva Vadod. The word Vadod means alone. The word Vadod is used many times in Torah. And it's used for Hashem, Hashem Badod Yanchenu Veini Moel Nechar, but it's also used to describe the state of being of Klal Yisrael, or of Jewish people. And there are a couple of examples that I want to go describe or understand that will perhaps give us a better understanding of what Badod means in Eicha, when we say Eicha Yoshva Badod. The Gemara tells us that the reason a person gets tzaras is as a punishment for speaking Lashon Hara. Tzaras comes from Lashon Hara. Tzaras, which we translate in English as leprosy, is not really a physical ailment. It's a spiritual ailment that has physical manifestations. That's tzaras. But tzaras comes because of Lashon Hara. So someone does a sin and he gets punished. Part of the process of curing, and therefore part of the punishment of the Mitzora, is Badod Yeshev Michutz HaMachaneh Moshevo. He has to sit Badod outside the camp. Mitzora actually is outside all the camps, the Machaneh Kehuna, Machaneh Levi, Machaneh Yisrael, outside all of the camps, completely isolated and alone. Badod Yeshev. In essence, mida keneged mida. This person spoke Lashon Hara about someone else, about someone in society, in his community. So we say, you know what? Go stay alone for a while. Go be isolated in order to learn the importance and the value and appreciate community, society, other people. And therefore, badad yeshev, go dwell alone as a punishment. Loneliness is a terrible ailment. And this is a terrible punishment for the Mitzorah. The Haftorah of both Tazria and Mitzorah deal with stories of Mitzorahim, of people who are lepers. The Haftorah of Tazria deals with Naaman. Naaman was the chief of the army, the general of Aram, powerful army. And Naaman, the Pasuk tells us, was a Mitzorah. He happened to have leprosy. And they had a war, he was able to win the war, he captured a Jewish woman as a slave, and over time, the woman said to him, I don't understand why you're still remaining a leper, go to the Navi in Israel, he'll cure you, he cures everybody. So Naaman took her advice. He goes to Elisha, a Navi. He was a Navi at the time. Elisha tells him to go dip in the Yarden 7 times. Naaman gets angry, says he doesn't want to do that. Finally, they convince him to try it. He goes into the Yarden and is cured. And he comes back to Elisha to thank him. When Naaman comes to Elisha the first time, when he's coming up to ask Elisha to cure him, the Pasuk says that he comes with sus varechev. He comes with his horse and his chariot. When he returns after he's cured to thank Elisha, it says v'chol chel imo. His whole army is with him, an entourage. And Chazal explain, when a person is a leper and he is so alone, he is completely alone. Tzaras is such a loneliness that even the general of the most powerful army in the region had no one to escort him when he was a Metzora. He just went with Sus Varechev, his horse and chariot. Only after he's cured does V'chol Chel Imo, this whole army, come with him. But before then, he was totally alone. It's a terribly lonely thing. The Haftorah of Metzora. The Haftorah of Metzora has 4 Metzoraim. Those 4 Metzoraim are outside the city of Yerushalayim. The city of Yerushalayim is under siege. They're suffering a terrible famine. After a while, these 4 Metzoraim say, we're going to die anyway. Let's go to the enemy camp. If they take us in, great. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. It doesn't matter. They go into the camp and they find that God has brought a tremendous miracle. The entire camp of the enemy has run away and not even taken their items. There's loads of food that can feed the entire city for who knows how long. And they start gathering all the riches for themselves. And after a while, they say, you know what? What are we doing gathering this for all for ourselves? Let's go tell B'nai Yisrael in Yerushalayim that the famine's over. They can come out and take all these riches. Why did they do that? So Chazal explained, they could have had so much wealth. They could have had everything. But they still would have been alone. They didn't want to be alone. They wanted to be part of a society. Badud, that the Metzora has, Badud Yeshev, is complete loneliness. We know what it's like to be isolated. When we had the isolation, we had phones and FaceTime and Zoom. We had all. Imagine not having any of that. Imagine being stuck for 2 weeks with literally nothing and nobody. Not saying hello to your neighbor, not going on Zoom to talk to people, nothing, no phones, nothing. It's a tremendous malady of loneliness. It's very painful. That's Badud. The curse of Badud. There's another place in the Torah where we have the word Badud, and that's in a bracha that God gives us through the lips of Bilam. The pasuk says, "Hein am livadud yishkon, uvagoyim lo yischashov." This is a nation that dwells alone, and they're not considered amongst the nations of the world. That's the blessing that the Jewish people get from God through the lips of Bilam. Hen am levadad yishkon. The Vilna Gaon questions the use of the word hen. What's his hen am? Hey nun. So he says, if it meant hine, behold, it's a nation that dwells alone, it should have said hine. If it's saying hen, as in they, the female form of haim is hain, if that's what it means, then it would be hen am levadad yishkonu, not yishkon in the singular. So what's the reason for the word hen? So the Vilna Gaon explains, we know that every letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a corresponding number. And every number has a ben zug, has a partner, to enable it to get to a round number. If it's not a round number already, it has a partner to get to a round number. So Aleph is 1, Tes is 9, Aleph and Tes are partners to get to 10. Beis and Ches, 2 and 8, are partners to get to 10. Yud and Sadik, 10 and 90 are partners to get to 100. Every letter has a ben zug except for 2, the he and the nun. A he has to have another he, and a nun has to have another nun. They don't have anyone else. They need themselves. So the Vilna Gaon says, hen am livadad yishkon. The nation of Israel, when we say livadad, when we're badad, we're never alone. It's always with someone else, another Jew. Hen am livadad yishkon. Uvagoyim lo yischashav. Maybe we're not considered amongst the nations of the world, but that's the loneliness, that's the bracha of Kal Yisrael, is that badad for us is hen. It's together with some other people from society, other Jews, marching together to the same drum. So we now have Badud. That means something very negative. It's a terrible curse given to the Metzora. And Badud, meaning something positive, it's a tremendous bracha given to Klal Yisrael. So when we say Echa Yashva Badud, what's the Badud we're talking about? Which one are we referring to? Okay, let's put that aside for a second. We said that the Haftorah that we're going to read this Shabbos is called Shabbos Nachmu, where we get Nechama. When we get Nechama, we said the Nechama doesn't really start on Shabbos. It starts during the day of Tisha B'Av, literally during the day of Tisha B'Av, which is the strangest thing. We've just spent time, let's take ourselves back in history, months where Yerushalayim has been under siege, months that we've been battling the enemy, weeks since then that the walls of Yerushalayim have been broken, and we're fighting the enemy within the walls of Yerushalayim. And finally, during all this time, we're hoping and praying that what happened to Sisera and what happened to Sancheiriv and what happened to all the enemies of the Jewish people is Hashem Yilochem Lochem Ba'atem Tachrishun. God takes care of things for us. We don't have to do battle. And we're waiting for that miracle, hoping, we're fighting as best we can and hoping and praying for that miracle. And then comes Tisha B'Av. And in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash is set afire and all hope is lost. At that point in time, the fire is out of control, and now we know the end is not near, but the end is here. It is exactly at that moment that we start getting Nechama. The lowest possible moment, the destruction of everything, all hope lost. And yet at that moment is when the Nechama comes. And this isn't just some Hasidish idea, a nice hashkafic thing that we can feel good about. We have this lahalacha on Tisha B'Av itself. When it hits Chatzos, and it hits that afternoon, we get up off the low chairs. When it hits Chatzos, we put on talis and tefillin. When we daven mincha, we say the paragraph of Nachim. There's a Tosfos in Tanis. The Tosfos in Tanis would apply this year. We don't paskin like this way, so don't try this at home. But Tosfos in Tanis says, when Tisha B'Av falls out on a Thursday, like it does this year, one is allowed to shower and wash his clothing. One is allowed to get a haircut and wash his clothing after Chatzos on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av itself. L'kavod Shabbos. On Tisha B'Av itself. It's allowed to do this. L'kavod Shabbos. Are you talking? Is it possible? So what I think Tosfos is telling us are two things. Number one, the importance of Shabbos. And we shouldn't underestimate how important it is to give kavod to Shabbos. That we should dress properly for Shabbos, we should prepare properly for Shabbos. Tosfos is telling us Shabbos is so important that it'll override Tisha B'Av if necessary. But what it's also telling us, what Tosfos is also telling us, is that after Chatzos is the time of Nechama. Dafka at the time when the Beis HaMikdash is burning, when it's all hope is lost, that's when Nechama comes. How's it possible that that's when Nechama? That's when God shows up. And we know that God's the one that's showing up because Nechama can only come from God. Hamakom Yenachem is what we say. Hamakom is a word for God. That God should bring the Nechama. So in order to understand this, let's go to a story we're all very familiar with. Yosef HaTzadik is sold by his brothers. He has his coat taken from him. It's dipped in blood. Brought back to Yaakov. Yaakov is shown, is this Haksonus bin Chahi? Is this the garment of your son? He recognizes it as Yosef's garment. He says, Tarov Toraf Yosef. Yosef has definitely been killed. And he begins sitting Shiva. And he, during the Shiva, the Pasuk says, V'chol b'nei Vesav, Banav Uvnosav, everyone comes to be Menachem Avil. And the Pasuk then tells us, V'yimo'ein lehisnachem. Yaakov refuses to be comforted. Rashi explains, it's built into the nature of the world that when someone, a loved one dies, that one the word we use in Hebrew, we translate into forget. Forget is probably not the right word. But one begins to find a way to accept the loss and to move on in life. Someone accepts the consolation and is able to move on in life. It's built into nature. That is how human beings were created. That after someone goes to the next world, the people here mourn, grieve, and eventually are able to move on. However, that's only when the person has died. If the person hasn't died, it's not built into nature that you should be able to forget them. Yosef did not die. He was still alive in Mitzrayim. Yaakov didn't know that, but nature knew that, and therefore Yaakov cannot be comforted. That's Rashi's explanation. But according to the Pashut Pshat and the words, it doesn't fit into Rashi. It says, Vayimo'ein le'isnachem. That means Yaakov refused, proactively refused to be consoled. It should say, V'lo yachol le'isnachem. He wasn't able to be consoled. It's natural. That was the problem. What's it mean, Vayimo'ein? And he refused. So what's happening here? Yaakov Avinu knows, and he remembers, when his grandfather Avram died, Yitzchak, his father, was sitting Shiva. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayivarch, God came and gave a blessing to Yitzchak, and Rashi there points out, Nichem Avelim. God came to be Menachem Avel to Yitzchak. Why? Because the only true consolation comes from Hamakom. It's only from God. So God comes to console Yitzchak. So now Yaakov is sitting Shiva. And every morning he gets on, he puts on talis and tefillin, he davens, they have a minyan, and all day long people are coming in. Children, grandchildren, all his relatives, the community's coming in, buses are coming in from all over Eretz Canaan, they're coming to be Menachem Avel. And it goes through the night, everyone leaves, Yaakov's going to bed, and he says, where was God? Where was God? God has not come to be Menachem Avel yet. Day one, day two, day three, Shiva keeps going on, and there's no God. Vayimo'ein lehisnachem. Yaakov is refusing to be consoled because he will not accept consolation unless it comes directly from the Ribono Shel Olam. Rashi's explanation is just telling us why God didn't show up. He knows why. There's vayimo'ein lehisnachem. Rashi's just saying, Taka, why didn't God come? Well, the reason is because Yosef was alive. That's why he didn't come. But really, Vayimo'ein, he refused to be consoled because Yaakov Avinu knew that the only true consolation comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. So we now have Eicha. And Eicha is a terrible, tragic story. Rav Chaim Kanievsky asks the following. He says, I don't understand. There's a Gemara that tells us that the only way Nevuah can be transmitted is through Simcha, through joy. Eicha was written by Yirmiyahu HaNavi as a Nevuah. How is it possible that Yirmiyahu HaNavi could even get this Nevuah? It's so tragic, there's no Simcha in it. So how is it possible for him to even have the Nevuah? It goes against the laws of Nevuah. Nevuah needs Simcha. Eicha is not Simcha. It can't be a Nevuah. So how does that work? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains, if you look in Eicha, Eicha talks about all the tragedies that happened during the Churban, all the tragedies that happened to the people, all the tragedies that happened to the city, the exile, the leadership, the Kohanim, but it never directly talks about the Churban. It indirectly hints to the Churban, but it never directly talks about the Churban itself. Why not? Because the Churban, the Gemara tells us, was a kapara. There was a consolation in the Churban that God didn't take out all of his wrath on Bnei Yisrael. He took it out on the bricks and the sticks of the Beis HaMikdash. The wood and the bricks, all of that of Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. The metal, all that was destroyed. But the people, although there were terrible tragedies, at least were spared a bit that there was a Nisharas HaPleita. There was something left for the people to continue. We should have been completely obliterated. So if that's the case, the destruction itself delivers Nechama. The destruction itself, Yirmiyahu realized that Eicha is telling us it's nothing about the destruction. Why? because the destruction is what enabled us to survive. So there was a bit of simcha. There's a bit of happiness there. Within the destruction itself. How is it possible within the destruction itself that we're saying that we're able to get that nechama right while we're having the destruction? So if we look at the haftoros that we're going to read, we have now the Gimel de Parnusa. We're now about to transport ourselves from the Gimel de Parnusa, the 3 weeks that we had of tragedy, of sadness, of all the terrible things that happened. And we're going into the Zayin de Nechemta, the 7 of consolation. The first one is the Haftorah of Nachmu Nachmu Ami, this upcoming Shabbos. Again, Reb Chaim Kanievsky asks, why the double lashon of Nachamu Nachamu? So he brings a story of from the Dubna Magid, the mashal of the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid says, there are two men. They're married. One is a wealthy man. One is a poor man. They live in the same town. And they both decide they're going to go travel overseas on business. And they know they're going to be away for months and months and months on business. Maybe no contact with their families. But they're going to do this. And they both go overseas. Months go by. The wives didn't hear anything from their husbands. The children don't hear anything from their fathers. They're worried about each other. They don't have anything. And the wives hear, that there's a man coming from the town that their husbands went to. He's coming into town. So they go greet him at the train station. And they say, do you know these two men? He says, sure, I know them very well. They actually are thinking of you, the wives. And they sent each one of the husbands sent a letter to his wife. I have it in my bag. Let me go just get to my hotel. I'll unpack. And then I'll come bring the letters. And the rich woman is so happy. She goes home. She's happy. And the poor woman says to the man, she says, can you please unpack now and give me the letter? Can you get me the letter? He says, oh, I'm going to go. I'm going to unpack. She says, please, just unpack now. Please give me the letter. He says, I don't understand. The rich woman, she went home. She's okay with it. Why can't you be like her and just wait till I unpack? So the woman says, listen. She says, me and my husband have a fantastic marriage. We get along great. We always get along great. We don't have money. I'm not worried that my husband's not thinking about me. I'm not worried that he's concerned about my welfare. I know he is. I'm worried that he may not have made money. He may not be able to bring home money for us to pay the bills to support our children. That's what I'm worried about. I need to read the content of the letter in order to be satisfied. That woman, the rich woman, her and her husband didn't have such a great marriage. She doesn't have to worry about her children. She needs to worry about her marriage. The fact that you said you have a letter from her husband and he's thinking about her was all she needed to hear. Once she hears that, she's comfortable that the relationship, everything else will be fine. So the Dubna Magid says, we're the rich wife. Right? We're them. Why? All we have to hear is God says, Nachamu, and we're fine. So when God says, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, when he says to Lashem, I'm going to give you a nechama, you know what the nechama is? That I'm concerned about you. If I'm concerned about you, you have the nechama. Because hamakom yinachem. It's always the Ribono Shel Olam that has to bring the nechama. Rav Soloveitchik explains it slightly different. Rav Soloveitchik says that the flow of the 7 haftoros, the Zayin de Nechemta, the flow of them is what really proves the point. Nachmu Nachmu Ami is the Navi, Amar Hashem Elokeinu, is the Navi telling us God is giving you Nechama. God's not coming himself to give you Nechama. I, the Navi, am coming in his place. What's the 2nd Haftorah? Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem. Tzion says, the way Rav Soloveitchik explains it, Tzion says, I'm not accepting that. I don't accept Nachmu from someone other than God. I'm not accepting any intermediary. So the third one is Aniyaso Ara. It's a storm going on. People aren't happy with this. There's no Nechama yet. Until the 4th one says, Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem. God then says, and Rav Soloveitchik explains, the next 3 Haftorahs are about the Nechama from the Ribono Shel Olam directly. When we have that Hamakom, that concept of God coming directly to us, that's the Nechama that we have. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, at the moment of the destruction, that worst possible moment, umekayem emunaso lishenei afar. It's dafka at that worst time that we can get the nechama. You know, there's, I guess everyone mourns their own way. So, you know, I did also. And for me, when my mother, Aleha Shalom, died, the worst possible moment, and there were many bad ones, but the worst one was that moment that she was put into the ground. That's when all hope is lost. The halacha tells us the same thing. You notice that when we have funerals and we go into the funeral home and everyone goes into that room to meet with the Avelim, no one says Hamakom Yinachem. We don't say that. Why don't we say that? It's halacha. The halacha is we're not supposed to say it until Stimas HaGolel, until the burial actually happens. After the burial happens, we line up in rows, the Avelim walk through, and we say Hamakom Yinachem. Because at the worst possible moment is the moment when we see God the best. It's at that moment of the destruction that God is saying, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and that means I'm here. That Anochi, Anochi, Hum Nachemchem. That's the moment when we can say Nachem. So if that's the case, perhaps we can now understand what we're referring to when we have Eicha. So the pasuk tells us, Eicha Yashva Vadad. So I understand it's going to be Alpidrush. Okay. Eicha Yashva Vadad, what's the pasuk telling us? Eicha, just like every other part of the Torah, is not just a storybook. It's not just a history book. It's an instruction manual. It's telling us how to live our lives. So the pasuk is telling us, Eicha Yashva. How are we supposed to dwell? Badad. We're supposed to be alone. Now the question, though, as we pointed out, is Badad has two meanings. Badad Yeshev of the Mitzorah, which is a curse, or Hen'am Livadad Yishkon, which is a bracha. If we're completely alone, without anyone, including our other Jews, if that's the case, that's a curse. If we're Hen'am Livadad Yishkon, if we're together with other Jews, it's just about goyim lo yischashav, that's a bracha. So the pasuk says, Eicha Yashvad, how are we supposed to sit? Badad. Now I have a choice. Badad, what's badad? Eicha Yashvad badad. Ha'ir Rabasiyam. I can either choose the badad of Ha'ir Rabasiyam, with loads of people, of Jewish people all around in my community, in society, together with everyone else, or I can be Ha'isak Ha'almanah. I can be without a ben zug. I can have the attitude that says, I don't want to have to do with anybody. I don't want to have to do with any other Jews. And you know what the reward's going to be or the consequences will be? Rabba Sivag, if we choose the first one, it's a parallel. If we say we're going to be amongst all our people, then we're going to be Rabba Sivagoyim, Sara Sivam Dinos. Will be lifted up, will be the princess among the nations, will be in charge of everything. But if we choose Ha'isal Kalmana, then Ha'isal Amas. Then we're going to be a tributary. It's a choice that we have to make. The Badad is standing right in front of us. The Badad is basically saying we have a choice. We can either say we're completely cutting ourselves off from the rest of Klal Yisrael, or Badad, we're going to join the rest of Klal Yisrael. We're going to be Henam Levadad Yishkon. And if we join the rest of Klal Yisrael, that's what brings the Ribono Shel Olam back to us. That's what makes sure that the Badad is not just with Klal Yisrael, it's with the Ribono Shel Olam. And how do I know this? Because there's another time where it says the word Badad. And that Badad is said at the end of the Torah, the end of Zos HaBracha. At the end of Zos HaBracha, we finish all the brachos. Moshe Rabbeinu is given the brachos. And we start, we know it's the part that the Chassan... The Chassan Torah begins from. It's Ma'ona, we call it Ma'ona Elkeim. What's the pasuk say? Vayishkon Yisrael betach badad. Yisrael dwells betach in security alone. And Rashi points out two things. Number one, it means we'll be so confident we don't even have to live in walled cities anymore. I can live here, you can live a distance, but we're together as a people, together with Ribono Shel Olam. If we want to find out how to be badad, We have to choose a badad of hen om levadad yishkon to be together with Klal Yisrael, with our ben zug, the hay with the hay, the nun with the nun, and that will enable us to assure that the Ribono Shel Olam is always with us as well. That vayishkon Yisrael betach badad, that will be a badad alone with God, alone together with Ribono Shel Olam. That's the concept that we're bringing together with this whole idea of Eicha being together with the Nechama. The time period that we're in has a destruction and a Nechama, and they're not separated. They have to be inextricably intertwined. The only way the Nechama can happen is when we realize the depths of the destruction, when we realize that Ein Anu Amili Sha'ein El Al Avinu Shava Shemayim, when we realize that it has to be through Hamakom Yenachem, that there's no one else to rely upon. That's when we have the Nechama. So what's Eicha telling us? Eicha is telling us something, one general rule that has two parts to it. The general rule is, very simply, a Jew is never alone. Eicha Yashva Vadad means a Jew is never alone. He's always in Hen'am Levadad Yishkom. He always has another Jew to rely upon. There's always someone around, a community, so a family, someone around to help out. And then in addition, a Jew is never alone because Vayishkon Yisrael Betach Badad. There's always a connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. A Jew is never alone because he's always got God. A Jew is never alone because he always has someone else in Klal Yisrael. So when we're looking and saying, Vayimo'ein Lehisnachein, because we can't find the Ribono Shel Olam, we just have to peel another layer. We have to try a little harder with someone else, with the other parts of the community, to get that avas chinam, to override the sinas chinam that we spoke about a few weeks ago. The concept of assuring that we're connected to Klal Yisrael is the way that we can assure that we're connected to the Ribono Shel Olam as well. That's the badad that we need to choose. Eicha yashva badad. It's the badad of Rabasi, of being together with people, and then we can be Rabasi v'agoyim, Sarasi v'amdinos. We can be together with the Ribono Shel Olam, so that we can be assured that we will have a life of sason v'simcha v'nasi agon v'anocha v'shuvi l'Yerushalayim. Have a wonderful evening. Sure.